Get the work done this summer and book a skip bin with Bingo. Google Bingo Bins today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
That's the final hour of Dwayne's World. It's all thanks to Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And for Bingo Bins, you can book a skip bin online with Bingo this summer. Terry Wallace to join me in just a moment. And you can join us across the hour as well. He's the best analyst in the game and he's got the best brain. And if you want to pick that brain, give us a call on the open line for Werribee Kia. Up to $2,000 in free accessories. 1300 736 736. Or you can shoot us a text on the Speckle text machine. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. 0433 98 11 16. Just for those, we might get this up on our Twitter feed as well, at Dwayne's World on Twitter. There's some unknown footage up until now. It looks like it's the only colour footage of Sir Donald Bradman batting, and it's been released by the National Film and Archive Society of Australia. It was shot at the Sydney Cricket Ground on the 26th of February, 1949. It was a testimonial match months after his test retirement. It's great. It's just something I never thought I'd see. Bradman batting in colour. It was just an absolute picture to watch as well. It's on the Fox Sports website, but you can check it out and have a look. It is really, really enjoyable. For an old cricket nuffy like me, I could watch that sort of stuff all day long. Terry Wallace joins us for this last hour. Hello, player.
How are you going, Jack? Now, I've said on this program for about the last week that we know that footy's getting really, really close when Magic Door keeps being put across all the photographs. And once again today, back page, there he is. Wonderful story, fantastic, deserves to be on the back page, but they do love, particularly the Herald Sun, they do love getting a picture of Magic just and putting it up there in that pre-season period.
He is an unbelievable specimen, like just an extraordinary. Steph, our newsreader, is wearing her North Melbourne polo today. And I think I've seen her just staring at the back page for the last 3.5 hours. She's just looked at it endlessly.
I think there's a few fellas looking at it sort of saying, she's got a lot of more gym work to do, haven't I?
I'm looking at that thinking, what do I need to do to look like that? From a North perspective, Jared Rivers, the assistant coach of North Melbourne, was on this show yesterday. I was listening and it was a really good chat. You've coached in situations where you'll get players back from long-term injuries. This is a different set of circumstances for obvious reasons. What does it do for a group, though, to see Madge run out tonight?
Oh, they'll be really buoyant just about the fact of having him out there and, you know, seeing the unbridled joy on his face. I mean, clearly, you know, when he went through what he went through, I mean, you know, the players are so concerned for him and, just sort of see that turn around and then to see where he will be when he runs out tonight. It'll be a pretty special moment just for his mates.
And he'll obviously need to tick the box for this first game, but they actually need him. They actually need Magic Door up and running. Scott Thompson retired. Robbie Tarrant with a foot injury, and there's a real unknown about how long this recovery is going to take, whether it's 2 weeks or longer, because it's quite painful. It seems like they actually need Magic Door playing in their back half come round one.
Well, they do. I mean, there's no doubt. Look, they missed him last year, but they were able to sort of cover off. But, when you have a look at it, there's some question marks in that area of the ground. Will they be right to go? Won't they? Can Josh Walker, come down from Brisbane and give them something in the back half of the ground? Can either a Durden or a McKay this time around? I think Durden will get the first opportunity at it. Can they sort of be able to do the job? I'm a bit of a Vickers Willis fan. I have been over the period, but he's more your third sort of tall. So they've just got a few question marks down that end of the ground. And if Magic could come back into the form that he was in prior to sort of leaving. Look, I was one. I'll be first to put my hand up and sort of say I didn't think he was ever really going to make it. And it was sort of, where does he play? And it looked sort of awkward to fit him in anywhere. Mm. But eventually he just fit like a glove down in that back half of the ground. Now, can he get back to that sort of form and confidence? We all hope that that's the case, and certainly North Melbourne need it.
So you're absolute that he's a defender? There's no there's no going back from here?
No. I think equally he could play ruck.
Yep.
But I think their needs, and with Goldstein returning to the form that he did last year, the needs basis and how he played, it's defence. Look, I know that he's been doing all these practice work with the defensive unit as well.
You and I were both there last night. We're taking a stack of calls, not just on this show, but across the day here on SEN about fans who love that suburban feel. A little later on the hour, we might talk about that. There was something to come away from the game, though, that you want to have a chat about, and you pointed out really early in the call, and that's the three-tall setup that Hawthorne were rolling with last night, and you think maybe at some point St Kilda might have a look at something similar. So I guess the question begs, for the last couple of years, it's been all about the one tall forward and then about getting the ball on the ground and bringing your smalls back into it. Could we potentially see it flip the other way and go back to the two or three talls in 2020?
Well, last night, both sides played with three talls. Now, you've got extra interchange players, so will they go with the three talls when they haven't got that extra flexibility? Well, we don't know whether that's the case or not, but it'll be fascinating to see. So when you have a look at it from a Hawthorne point of view, we saw Jonathan Patton on display for the first time. Lewis is coming along really nice, Mitch Lewis as a player. And O'Brien had a really good back half of the year last year, who all of a sudden, if he becomes the third tall, how does that look for him? Does he get more of an opportunity of being able to really sort of have a jump and grab at the footy? So will they go with that once we get to round one, or the Gunston factor coming back into the side? Is he your third tall? And so, one of those guys misses out. And then flip side at the other end, obviously Membry was, I thought, comfortably best on the ground.
Yep, I'd agree with that.
He took more of the Josh Bruce role, playing a little bit higher, let's call it the true centre-half forward position, Max King playing behind him, and then they're determined, St Kilda, that they're going to play their rucks, their resting rucks as forwards. So, obviously that was Ryder to start with. Marshall, later in the game, kicked a couple of late goals, being able to play that role. So there's a three-pronged attack as well. I'm pretty sure St Kilda are going with their three. Whether Hawthorne go with their three or whether they don't is interesting. But it was almost out the door at one stage. We just got to the stage where we went, no. Richmond set the example.
It was Jack and his little mates, yeah.
Correct. And two's the most you can possibly go with. Well, all of a sudden it's flipped all the way back now where sides are looking at three again.
So what are the pluses and the minuses to this? So put your coach's hat on for us. We're in a team management meeting right now. We're starting to build our team towards round one. What are the pros of going with a bigger forward line?
Pros are that if you can mark the ball, I mean, you get easier access to goal. Your small players have got to be brilliant or aggressive.
Yep.
One or the other. Super aggressive to be able to strip the ball from their opposition to be able to kick goals or have a touch of brilliance. So I would suggest that they are harder goals to kick. If you can actually clearly mark the ball and go back and get set shot opportunities, easier goals to kick. Contested marks are never easy, understand that. But if you can get that rolling for you, and we're sort of looking from the glass half full at this stage, if you can get that rolling for you, easier shots on goal. So that's that part of it. On the glass half full side still, it does allow you to get a player who you think has got potential to get out of the loop to a degree. Most defences have two good key backmen. Not many have three.
Mm.
And so I'll use Tim O'Brien in this case. Tim O'Brien had a good finish to last year. I would sort of suggest that the way that they're playing at the moment, that Patton would get the number one defender, that Mitch Lewis, so he gets a bonus, where last year he would have been getting the number one defender.
Yeah.
So he gets a bonus, then he gets the number two. But the big winner, if you go with a three format, is Tim O'Brien, because all of a sudden his marking ability, he might be playing on, we were just talking about the North Melbourne guys, I was sort of saying, Ed Vickers-Willis might be enough.
Is it Durden
Correct. So all of a sudden he gets a better look at being able to impact games. So that's, to me, that's the positive. I think the negative is pretty obvious.
Lack of forward pressure?
Ground level ball. Can you be good enough? Are the three guys competitive enough when the ball hits a deck? One thing that I was really pleased about from a St Kilda point of view last night was that I thought that Max King was very, very good at ground level, chase outs, put a couple of really big tackles on. Didn't have a dominant game by any stretch, but I just saw a few things that sort of said, he's going to be able to compete and that's not going to be an issue from the point of view. If he's not having a great day, at least he's still going to be able to compete, contest. He's got the speed and he's got the ground level game that he's going to be able to do it to a degree. But certainly when you're playing three big blokes, the ground level game becomes a little bit more difficult.
And this is not just about St Kilda. This applies also to the Western Bulldogs. There's another team, by bringing in Josh Bruce this year, that they'll have a combination of Norton, Shacky and Bruce to consider.
Correct.
Does the weather and the venue play a role in this too? So for the Saints and the Bulldogs, they play a lot of their footy under a roof on a pretty fast track. So is that why there's more work going into that setup now, because of the way they can roll it out during the year?
I think so. I mean, I'll say certainly weather and venue always plays a part in selection. So you go down our path. I'm still in the two talls and a flexible player. So if I'm going Hawthorn, I'm going two talls and Gunston.
Yep.
That type of player, you know, who can be a marking player but can be a ground ball player as well. That would be my preferred option. But it's going to be really interesting to watch how sides react to it and what other sides do about it. You know, do they play a marginally smaller and then just try to get the runoff effect, or do they have to try to match some like for like? Because when Richmond went with the Jack Riewoldt and all the smalls, the biggest problem that oppositions had was, let's call it, for 16, 17 weeks, you got 18 teams, so they're playing 17, Richmond's one of them. Let's say 16 weeks, they are playing with a three or at least a two tall structure against every other side in the competition who structure up that way. And then when they get to Richmond, they go, what do we do with our big blokes?
Yeah. Do we play them? Do we? Yeah.
Correct. So all the sides were actually needing to either go with something that was really unusual to them, playing big blokes on small blokes, or change the way that they actually structured their teams up. So you're changing yours for 1 week and Richmond's keeping theirs the same every week. So it was, to me, a major advantage. If you can get those little things where somebody else is all at school, it can be a big advantage for your side, and that was what it was for Richmond.
Off the speckle text, 0433 98 11 16. Ben from Shepparton says, remember, he plays tall but is not lumbering. King is pretty quick as well. So that backs up what you were saying
from
last night.
Correct, yeah. And it will be interesting to see how the resting rucks go. I've never been a huge, you know, just plonk the big blokes down there for long periods of time. I will say the Marshall is pretty good below his knees. I mean, he's a very athletic player. I said last night he reminds me very much of Grundy.
Yeah, you did say that.
That
yeah.
He can get after the ball once it hits ground level. You know, he's not the tallest ruckman going around, but he can compete at that level for the taps. But he certainly gives you almost another midfielder and gets after the ball. So him down in the forward structure, I don't see as being much of an issue. Ryder will be interesting to sort of see with, you know, can he mark the thing enough to actually be able to impact.
And Kane off the speckle text says, ironically, I'm looking forward to seeing North play with a small forward line in tonight's game. They're going to go the other way. We're just talking about the lumbering forwards or the taller setup. By design or by choice or for whatever reason, North seem as though it's going to be Ben Brown and then all of his little mates around him.
Well, it'll be Larky tonight.
Brown's out.
Because Brown won't be there. But, yes, so they will, to me, it's looking very much like they will play the two. They'll play Brown when he's available and Larky. But tonight it'll be, you know, Larky and all the smalls.
Last on the tall setups for now. There's a lot of text messages coming through about this one. Geelong, do you like the look of, or like the sound of, at least Hawkins, Radaglia and Jenkins? Or is that too heavy?
Well, again, I actually think Josh Jenkins, you know, basketball background is very good below his knees for a big guy.
Yep.
Yeah, can comfortably get down, pick it up, screw it around his shoulder to be able to kick a goal. I've always believed that Tom Hawkins is underrated for his ground level ball. I think he's actually all right. Now, Geelong supporters, some will say, I don't think he's that good at footing out after blokes once the ball's been taken possession. But when the ball's coming in, to keep the ball in his area, get down at ground level and be able to flick it out to the little blokes, I think he's all right at that part of it.
Yeah.
Not the quickest bloke once the ball starts, you know, charging out the other way. So, and I'm a Radaglia fan. I'm a Radaglia fan. I think eventually what will happen, and it's just my take on it, I think that it'll end up being Hawkins and Jenkins, and Radaglia will eventually, once his body comes into shape, he'll eventually be their first ruck.
150% agree with you. He's a ruckman all over, Asava Radaglia. And Chris Scott this week almost intimated that as well, that that's the direction they're headed. Jack Heverin in the chair today for Dwayne Russell. Terry Wallace in the studio for this hour. He was nearly Dwayne Wussell for a minute there, but I just stopped myself at the very last minute. That's all thanks to the AFL Records season guide for 2020. The Footy Lover's Bible, available at newsagents and major bookstores. It's thanks to Karcher, whatever the cleaning task, we have the solution. We're in match committee mode here, Plough. So I want to keep you in this headspace. We'll start to have a look at the weekend and what's coming up and just maybe some of the free scoring that we might anticipate in 2020. That's all to come, plus more of your calls. But considering that we're in match committee mode, what does the Richmond Football Club do with Katie Brennan? Now, you have spoken about this earlier in the week. Mark Robinson followed this up with an article a couple of days ago in the Herald Sun.
Yeah, well, look, to me, this is not really that much to do with Katie. It's just more to do with match committee and positioning of your players to get the best value out of the player involved. Now, Katie had made a reputation in AFLW as a key forward.
Yep.
And, you know, she's one of the best kicks in the competition as far as I'm concerned. Her skill level is absolutely elite in that area. The Richmond Footy Club, you know, I would say some of the courting of her to come across and play with them and to lead them was, we want you to go into the middle of the ground and play through the guts.
And I think she wanted that too.
Yeah, and alongside of Monique Conti to, you know, to be able to give us some real leadership and some experience in that area of the ground. My opinion is, I don't think first up that she is as natural a midfielder as those that have absolutely completely grown up with the game. And what I mean by that is that some of the girls through the middle of the ground are absolute first-use players. So if we're talking about the type of first-use players in AFL, Ben Cunnington is a first-use player. Go and get your own footy. Tom Mitchell, who came back last night, a first, go and get your own football type of player. Some of the girls at AFLW level that are playing in the middle of the ground really hunt after the ball as midfielders. Yeah, they've watched and learned from the senior AFL guys and delivered their own craft.
Yep.
And they do that. I don't see Katie Brennan being that. Katie Brennan is a one step off, be able to get the ball out into space and be able to use the football. So as a forward, when the ball's being delivered out into space to her, therefore it gives her more opportunity to use her skill set to be able to impact the game. She played her first two games. She played round one, which I did the game, against Carlton, and played on Katie Loynes. Katie Loynes just beat her to the first use of the ball.
Yeah, she was good.
So I gave her best on the ground.
Yeah.
I gave her best on the ground. Just beat her. So they would line up at stoppage and clearance, and Katie's nature is in and under, straight, on the knees, get hold of the footy, scramble out and get it back out the other direction, and was just able to clear the area before Katie Brennan could get her hands on the football, and I thought comprehensively beat her. Last week's game, she played on Jamie Stanton, and very, very similar effect. By half time, I thought Jamie really had her covered. In fairness, and well done to Katie Brennan, her attack on the footy in the third quarter was terrific. Like, she knew that if she was being beaten, I presume she knew that she was being beaten in a position and wanted to try to do something about it to try to turn it around. But here's the conundrum. So you've got a player in the first two games who has been beaten in her position, who is a key player for your organisation. But you also know that this key player can play key forward. Mm. The Richmond Footy Club has scored four goals in two games.
Yes.
Four goals in two games as just not being able to deliver up forward. Well, why wouldn't you play someone that you know is a key forward, why wouldn't you roll them into a key forward position? Even if you still want to run them through the middle of the ground. Yeah, let's call it a ruck rover, you know, the old-fashioned ruck rover forward type role, but give her more forward time so that she can actually impact the game for the Tigers.
And for those wondering, well, that's all well and good, but if the ball doesn't get down there, they kicked 2.10 last week. So they had opportunities, Richmond. They didn't know what to do with it when it went inside 50.
And I'm sort of suggesting that if you haven't got the class up in your forward line, which Katie clearly has, just back the girls to be able to be competitive enough, to work hard enough, to want the opportunity to get into the middle of the ground, to at least give yourself the opportunity once you go forward. Look, they're still a very young, immature side, the Richmond side. There's no doubt about that, and it's going to take them a season or two to get up with the better sides in the competition. But it's got to be a question that a match committee would be asking itself about: where do we get the best use of it? Now, I'm not saying throw out the midfield stuff, but I'm just sort of saying let's get the balance of where she plays her best football a little bit more balanced off.
They've got a big challenge when they take on the Kangaroos on Sunday. That will not be an easy game. Thank you, Steph. Terry Wallace in the studio. 1300 736 736 is how you can join us on Dwayne's World, or you can send us a text on 0433 98 11 16. Bob and Andy up after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Darcy Vessio, their very special guest in the lead up to Sunday's Pride game against the Western Bulldogs. While we're on the subject of AFLW play, and we spoke about Katie Brennan, we're on a roll. Andy Marr's just walking around with his Carlton jumper as well.
That's a shock.
He would sleep in a Carlton jumper, wouldn't he, surely?
Yeah.
Even regardless of winter, summer, it wouldn't matter. He would sleep in a Carlton jumper. While we've got you, you're checking out all of the AFLW games as you do each and every week. Tonight it's St Kilda and Melbourne at RSEA Park. So more footy at Moorabbin.
Yeah, well, back there again. And I think Melbourne are just too strong. Look, I thought there were three 50-50 games this weekend.
Yep.
I think Melbourne will be able to get the job done. I was pleased with St Kilda. I think, you know, they went over to Adelaide and did a pretty good job over there, but I think Melbourne will be too strong for them. Just going through the other ones, the games that I think will run the way we expect them to, I think Brisbane will be too good for the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. I would think that GWS will be too good for the West Coast and should be able to get that result. And I think North Melbourne will be too good for Richmond. The 50-50 games to me, the Bulldogs in Carlton, I just at the Witten Oval, Doggies lost to Melbourne there last week. I know you just spoke to Nathan Burke. If they get sort of better conditions, drier, sharper conditions, I would be leaning still towards Carlton.
Well, the Dogs are going to get Brooke Lachlan back, who kicked seven. You and I both did that game a couple of years ago. And Izzy Huntington. So that'll help their cause. Yeah.
And I thought she was quite good first up playing in defence. So that looks like a 50-50 game. The Fremantle-Collingwood game looks like the best game of the round.
Definitely.
To me, Collingwood really improving, and Fremantle have been the best side up until now. But, yeah, we've got a long way to go.
Just on the Pies, did you have them going as well? I know it's only a couple of rounds in.
No.
Did you have them going as well as what they are?
No, I didn't.
I don't think anyone did.
No, their ball movement last Sunday, did the game last Sunday with Carlton and Collingwood. I thought Carlton were good in the contest, but the ball movement of Collingwood was just far too good for them. So
Chloe Malloy makes a massive difference
for
that team.
Huge difference. I mean, her ability just to read the play, she's calm, you know, with ball in hand, and is an excellent player for them. So that'll be that to me is the match of the round. And then the other one, Geelong and Adelaide, I've got as a 50-50 game. I think Adelaide should be the better of the two sides, but just Geelong at home, they just need to be able to try to stump up a result. So that's the other 50-50 game, obviously, with Erin Phillips still out of the lineup.
Yeah, nothing from Erin Phillips as yet. It's the wait. I mean, it was thought that she'd be round two. She didn't play last week. She's not playing this weekend. It's a real wait-and-see job at the moment. They seem to me, Adelaide, the games that I've watched of them, they're solid, but they're missing their X factor.
Yeah, best four sides in it for me at the moment are Melbourne, not in any order, Melbourne, Fremantle, Collingwood and North, and Adelaide's the watch. Because if they can get a couple back, it can change things quickly.
And St Kilda, to their credit, I would doubt that they would make the finals, but for year one, that They're going okay, I reckon. Yeah, I reckon they've built, they're a young team, but there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say a couple of their young girls are excellent players. So, yeah, I'm pleased with the way that they're sort of progressing.
You went to Wayne's World on SEN. Jack Heverin in for Dwayne, whatever he's doing of a daytime. And Terry Wallace is in as well. 1300 736 736 on the phone. Essendon and Melbourne are playing a scratch match at Casey Fields. There's only 8 Melbourne-listed players playing. The rest are made up of Casey's VFL players. The Bombers are fielding a different team for each half, and they've also got a lot of VFL players filling it out. So Essendon 4-2-26, Melbourne 3 behinds at quarter time. David Zaharakis has kicked 2 goals, and Andrew McGrath playing good footy in the midfield. Play, I reckon if you talk to Bombers supporters en masse, and even just the mere mention of Andrew McGrath's name on this show, we'll have them texting in. Bombers fans are desperate to see Andrew McGrath play as a full-time midfielder this year.
I can understand.
Would you pull that trigger?
Yeah, I can understand why. I really can. Well, he's got dynamics, hasn't he, about him. When was his best game for the year? His best game was in the final.
Correct.
So, we know that when the whips get cracking and you really need got to stand up, well, he's shown us that he can do that. So, I can totally understand why they want him playing in that position.
Yeah, I think he's dynamic, and it's probably the other thing that Essendon don't, to my eye, have a lot of, is that explosive pace. I think their contested ball's pretty strong, but outside of Zach Merritt, they haven't really got anyone who can bust through like that.
Yeah, so, it'll be interesting to sort of see how they use him, but, certainly for me, I'd be wanting him through the middle of the ground. And from a Melbourne-Essendon point of view, when Essendon have got players of the likes of Zaharakis running around and Melbourne have got their last 7 or 8 kids running around, you expect the scoreline. What it is for Essendon is it's an ability to play against somebody rather than your own all the time. So it doesn't matter really what the scoreline looks like from an Essendon point of view. It's just a practice match hit out for them, not playing against their mates. And from a Melbourne point of view, it's just giving your kids a run.
Mm, just have a look at it. The Demons are in action on Saturday at Casey Fields. They take on Adelaide. We'll go back to that game very shortly. Tonight, though, it's the Bulldogs versus North Melbourne. Pickers and Sammy Hargraves will be there for us tonight from 6 o'clock. We've spoken a lot about North Melbourne this hour and the return of Majak Dore. For the Western Bulldogs, though, there's some changes at both ends of the ground for them. What are you looking for tonight from them?
Well, obviously, Josh Bruce not going to be there this evening, but, certainly we'll be wanting to sort of see how he goes about it once sort of things get rolling. But there's a lot of excitement built around the Bulldogs. It's funny how this sort of happens just generally in speaking because, really, their last game that they played was against GWS where they got beat up.
They got assaulted,
absolutely. But, literally. Their last month and a half was pretty good football. So, from my point of view, really interested to see how Keith fits into that back line because the one thing I think that we've all sort of said for a few years is around the edges, through the middle of the ground, they're as good as most sides going around the Bulldogs. I think they've got the best group of running players, whether you call them just backline runners or we'll count the wings in amongst that. I think they've got the best group in the competition. More blokes that can flow through that area and run and carry than any other side in the comp. So from that point of view, they're covered off, but their spine and their rucks have been a bit of a concern. And obviously English not playing tonight either, but the development of him coming through, Norton coming through, and then adding a couple of blokes like Keith and Bruce, really the Bulldogs fans are going to be hoping that that gives them a significant jump or boost through the middle of the ground because that's been the area that the spine has just not been good enough to hold up to have those runners be able to get the job done all the time.
There's not many that aren't playing for the Western Bulldogs tonight. You look at their team, Johannesson's playing, Crozier, Caleb Daniel, Bontempelli, Lockie Hunter, Aaron Norton, Sam Lloyd, McCray, Bailey Dale, McCray Dunkley. They're all out there, so it's a pretty good team that they've put out there. From a Kangaroos point of view, we touched on Majak Dore and we touched on him being out there. But again, they've got a pretty reasonable team that they're fielding first up as well.
Yeah, I suppose the spine is a little bit impacted, obviously, with no Tarrant and no Brown for them, which will hurt them. Higgins not being sighted either.
Ben Brown's the other one that we spoke about before. Yeah.
Simpkin, I want to keep watching his continued development as a midfielder. I think that he can be a star through the middle of the ground. I think that Larkey is good enough to continue his his work. Zerha is another one that I'm sort of interested in having a bit of a look at. To me, the guys that are really important for them to make another step forward are Ahern, Bonner, who has just arrived at the club, so we've got to give him a little bit of time,
yep,
and Davies Uniacke. If you look at those three blokes, all big-bodied midfielders with a touch of class who were all star under-18 players who we don't know yet whether they're going to make the jump to become regular senior players, good regular senior players, or great regular senior players. And the difference between those three, you know, if two of the three of them can become between good and great senior players, how much difference does that look to the development of the side? So those three, I'm going to be watching them with real interest to sort of see, you know, if any of them can come on and really sort of make some ground.
I think they've got a good one with Aidan Bonner. I think he'll be a really good one for them. He just couldn't get into the Giants midfield and his body wouldn't let him. Saturday, Melbourne and Adelaide at Casey Fields. The reason that there's not many of Melbourne's senior players playing today in their game against Essendon is because there are a lot of them playing tomorrow in the game against Adelaide, but no Max Gawn and no Braden Pruce. So we get a look at what life would be like without Max Gawn. And judging from what we can see, Sam Wiedemann is the starting ruck and Luke Jackson on the bench. There's not a lot there to work with.
No. Well, you don't probably expect to have the two big boys both out at the one time, but that, you know, that can be life. There's a lot to look at, but from a Melbourne perspective, I mean, all of a sudden we get the first look at Langdon and Tomlinson, a two-wing, let's call it a two-prong wing attack, yep, that they expect that both of those boys are going to play on the wings. So my interest there is they've rotated a lot of their midfielders through those wings. Does that impact the midfield time for some of those other players in the side? I'll be watching that with interest. Lever back into the lineup. I want to sort of see how he goes. Mitch Brown coming to play, obviously over from Essendon, to come and play as a forward. I still think that they are in desperate need of another key forward. So can he hold down the position? Wiedemann, another look at him. You know, I see him more as a key forward. Obviously, he's just got to fill in and do a little bit of ruck work. But, you know, does a Mitch Brown get the role? Does a Wiedemann get the role? You would think that McDonald is one of your forwards, and it'll be interesting to sort of see how they play out. And I'm interested to see how Kasiah Pickett ends up going as well, sort of get the first look at him.
Are you surprised to see Jaden Hunt as an emergency in this game? Or do we not worry about emergencies this time of year?
I think you're more worried about emergencies this year because you've got deeper list of players playing and you've got guys who are being rested. So if you can't get into let's call it a list of 26 with four or five being rested, you start to, you should be concerned.
Jaden Hunt playing today in that game for Melbourne. So he's one of the few experienced players that they've got out there.
He's been a bit of a revolving door, hasn't he, with Melbourne?
I thought he was okay as a sort of hit up forward this year.
I thought he wasn't
last year.
But all I'm sort of saying is he's been in and secured in the side as a backman, and then he was out in his own merits for a while playing VFL football, then come back in as that forward. So, he has been in and out of the team.
I always find him a polarising one with Melbourne supporters. When we mention his name off the text and Demon supporters call in, some love him with the way that he takes on the game from halfback. Others think that he tortures the footy and that costs them too much going back the other way.
Well, that's it in a nutshell. 100% that's it in a nutshell. Can he use the ball well enough if he's playing behind the footy? And does he have enough impact if he's playing in front of the footy?
Adelaide have got a young team. And especially, I mean, they're going to have a pretty young team all season long. But if you look down their spine, there's some real youth out there tomorrow.
Yeah, well, they've got blokes who have made their craft in the sandful. Jordan Butts is playing at centre-half back for them. And Ben Davis is playing at centre-half forward. So they're not, from a Victorian point of view, and you know, South Australian listeners will obviously know the two boys a lot better than what we will know them, but certainly not household names at this stage.
No.
And it's a big jump. And it's a big jump, I think, more when you're trying to play key position against the key position stars. You know, most clubs are only, we were just talking about in the early part of the hour, only a couple, and you know, you usually got to be pretty damn good to be able to secure down those key position spots. So interesting to see how they go. To me, it's still going to be a reasonably long year for Adelaide. I think they can be competitive and competitive at home, but I don't see them as a finals team.
No, I'm with you on that one as well. Coming up towards 3 o'clock, Bob and Andy from 3 this afternoon. Corey Homicide Williams will be in the studio and Darcy Vesio, one of their special guests this afternoon as well in the lead up to the Pride game against Carlton. And I think I saw Bonnie Togut out here before as well, so she might be part of the show a little bit later on as well. You can join us, 1300 736 736. Kamal is in Craigieburn. Kamal, good afternoon.
How are you, boys?
Good.
Good.
I'm a Collingwood fan. Just want to know if you guys seen any of the scratch match yesterday at Icon Park.
No, so we were
going the other direction, yeah, down to Moorabbin.
We were at the other game, Kamal.
Oh, okay. Well, is there anything you've heard? How did certain players go for Collingwood?
So we got a few things last night from Mitch Cleary from afl.com.au was there. We got the Carlton perspective today with John Barker. From a Collingwood point of view, Plough, there was... I think the big thing to take away for them is that they gave game time to quite a lot of their kids.
Yeah.
And Josh Dacos being one of them, looked like they played really well last night.
Yeah. Look, I mean, early in the piece, it seemed like it was the old crew of sort of Grundy, Pendlebury, Adams, Sidebottom, the ones that you would expect to be.
Apparently Treloar had a stack of the footy as well.
So the midfield, was the dominant thing. But look, we weren't there, so we're not going to try to make it up. I mean, we're only going on reports that everyone else has had. I don't worry too much about the result and where it stood. It sounded like Carlton were more into it than necessarily Collingwood. Collingwood got their senior boys on, got them off. I think Carlton are fairly advanced from everything that I've heard over the pre-season, that they've been very, very aggressive in their approach to their practice match session. So I think that when you're watching their games, when they start, I think that they will be reasonably advanced.
Before we finish up, Gold Coast and Geelong at Metricon Stadium tomorrow night. The Suns are going to roll out Noah Anderson and Matt Rowe straight away, which is fantastic.
Which is good. Yeah, both of the boys played in a practice match last week, and Rowe threw the middle of the ground. Anderson played on a wing. I'm looking forward to sort of having a look at them. Levi Greenwood, Brandon Ellis playing, obviously the two young boys. No Isaac Rankin in that squad again. I was really disappointed because he played last week and apparently looked all right, but not sure why or what the reasoning is why he's not playing. From a Geelong point of view, I really love Jordan Clark, the way he goes about his footy, so pleased to sort of see him back in the lineup.
Where's his best footy, do you think? I know he's only played for a year, but if you were to put him in a role somewhere right now, where is it?
Either halfback or wing. Yep. I think he will be a wingman eventually, whether the halfback sort of protects him to a degree at this stage, but either of those two positions. Young Bradley Close coming from Glenelg. I mean, that's a pretty strong squad that Geelong have got. So he's obviously impressed them to give him that sort of opportunity.
And lastly, we've got about a minute. Brisbane and Port Adelaide is the last game on Sunday, the only game on Sunday.
Moreton Bay. There's Kane Corns. I said, don't know where that is. It's in Burpengary.
Burpengary, that's it. You've been there before.
Been there a couple of times before. I don't see Brisbane Lions going away. I think that they will be a very, very strong side again. To me, it's a development of their second, third and fourth year players that we continue to want to look at. It's whether they can get just a little bit more consistency out of their key forwards, out of the likes of McStay and Hipwood, whether they can impact, and particularly when they're playing against the better sides. A lot of pressure on Port, and they've been a pretty good team from what I've heard over the preseason as well. They'll be pretty advanced.
You're going to hear all of those games across the weekend here on SEN, and you'll hear a lot of Terry Wallace. Thank you, Plough. We'll see you next week.